Today's FanLUN Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 101 odds on either fighter landing a punch during the fight. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan Run Radio.
Today, we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue. It won't do.
Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the Chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and candidly a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to, we can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. We can go when we want to, night is young and so am I.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Misery Monday edition of the program.
Oh, it's just peachy.
It's a good thing we have Mondays, because we can't start the week in this town on Optimism Tuesday. Nope, gotta have Monday first.
Well, that was by design.
Right. It's Optimism Tuesday for a reason.
When you have so many bad things happen on weekends, it's important to have one day to start the week.
Yep.
Where you can just speak freely. Where you can
not hold anything back.
It's the last game of the year.
People ask the question. Saturday night. Saturday late afternoon. We gonna win again? Will this team...
Wins will be good.
Yeah. Win again.
I'm really surprised you guys are just glossing over the main story.
Okay. Is that you correctly predicted the game?
It's that Lady Gaga got her dogs back.
Gustav and Koji are back,
yes,
man.
They're
back.
I saw that.
I saw that. What about the third dog?
He was always safe.
Oh, so when he got away, someone...
They
found
the dog,
returned him?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about the guy that got shot? Is he all right?
Yeah, it turns out he was only shot one time, not four, originally
okay.
said. I mean, it's still bad. Don't get me wrong. Like I wouldn't want to get shot in the chest.
Being shot, not good, but four compared to one, that's a little bit of a miss by somebody.
So everyone's okay? What about the culprits?
Still no word.
On the loose?
Apparently, the person who returned the dogs... A woman that reportedly is not involved in the theft of the dogs. So at least what they're saying so far.
Huh. She just found the stolen dogs.
Well, I mean, there was a $500,000 reward, so probably knew the guys who did it, and or at least found these dogs, and it's like, these might be the dogs the that dogs. Are my ticket out of here, you know?
Ticket out of here. Like, she was like
a... She was kind of a semi-hostage, like, she with these guys, like, just...
No, I'm saying, like, she probably just had bad, like... Again, this is me speculating, but...
What are you saying, criminals can't be rich? Thomas Crown was rich.
From what I heard about the area where the dogs were found, it's not the nicest area.
Well, you got to have a little hideaway house. You can't just take them back to your place.
So you think maybe they were paying her to do other illegal activity, and she was like,
I really don't know.
Might commit a quick $500,000 and change of scenery might be nice.
Not a whole lot of information on that aspect of the story. Hopefully more details
to come.
Do you
think she was in cahoots with the dog walker, and he was like, shoot me right here.
Ooh.
And then you'll return the dogs later.
These other two guys are going to go to prison for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we'll give them their cut.
Yeah.
Or we just fly to Mexico.
I mean, the AP, woman who dropped off dogs, appears to be uninvolved and unassociated with the attack.
I think about the dog walker being involved if it was like one shot he took, but the fact that he took four.
No, that's what he just said. It was just one.
Listen to the show.
He told us last week it was four.
Yeah, he just updated.
It was an incorrect report.
Like, about 2 minutes ago, we got the correct report, the update, that it was only one
shot. If it turns out it was, like, in the leg, I don't know.
The flesh wound. Yeah. Just grazed his arm.
Yeah, it was up here right off the shoulder. Like, a 22. Pellet gun.
Turns out we got a pellet gun.
We're still getting some mixed reports.
I was swallowing my coffee. I was about to go to a pellet gun.
Yeah.
Or maybe just a BB, because sometimes pellets can get in there.
That's
true.
He was airsoft.
Yeah.
Those sting.
They do sting, yeah.
I mean, this report
says... Those sucker darts from Nerf.
The woman's identity and location where the dogs were found won't be disclosed for her safety and because of the ongoing investigation. That's according to the LAPD. There was another report about... They said something about like the area they did find... She found the dogs, but I guess... That might not be true or disputed.
I was going to say, how can they verify that? Oh, yeah, I found him over here. Did you?
Maybe they're just really smart dogs. They made a break for it, got away.
Could be. They are French.
I mean, one of them did.
Yeah, one of them already did get away. Maybe he was
pretty sure the French will stay locked up.
Yeah, it's true.
You said they're French. Like, that's a like French
well, I
being
mean, it's just a joke.
Smart and tough is a thing.
Well, they're
usually the opposite.
That one dude was French in Ocean's 12.
That one dude.
He was like one of the greatest thieves of all time.
Yeah.
I forget his name. Mm-hmm. The blonde guy.
Blonde?
Yeah.
No, it's the thief they're competing against in Ocean's 12 to steal the jewel.
Yeah.
Egg.
He's got blonde hair.
No, he doesn't.
This is, it's neither here nor there, the color of the man's hair.
Yesterday,
just the fact that he was French was my point.
Yesterday, my daughter and I almost started yelling at each other because she was asking if she had to wear a mask for her softball tryouts.
Mm-hmm.
And she had moved up in age. So I thought she meant her face mask, like that they wear when they play infield or when they pitch, especially. And I was like, well, definitely when you pitch. And she's like, no, we didn't wear a wet mask last year when we were playing. And she's talking about... Mask, I'm talking about. And we're like yelling at each other. It sounds like you guys might need to just pull up some pictures and hash that out.
I'll do that.
Maybe he has blonde hair in some shots, not so blonde in others.
All I know is his name in the movie was, maybe not. It doesn't matter. We're getting way too far off on the...
Auburn 77, Tennessee 72. And it wasn't that close. It didn't feel that close. I had the pleasure of watching the game in the presence of an Auburn fan.
Oh.
Luckily, he's not an ass.
Luckily.
I think he was also worried because Auburn has blown so many leads late. And even till almost the final buzzer, he was like, see, we could do this. Oh, there's two missed free throws. And Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, they
tried
to let us back in it with the missed free throws.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Wasn't to be.
It was not meant to be. No. That's unfortunate.
John Fulkerson hit his new average that he keeps hitting at 4 points.
Mm.
So that was great. You were on a turnover pace at one point in the first half to go over 20 turnovers for the game. Tennessee did get better in that department and only finished the game with 13. Only 13.
For us, that's really pretty good.
Tennessee shot 10 free throws for the game. Auburn shot 37.
It's a good number.
I saw a lot of Tennessee fans saying, see, refs robbed us. I was like, did you watch this game?
No, Auburn just actually attacks the rim. They make you make a choice.
Yeah.
Give up a shot or put them on the free throw line. Whereas we do this thing where instead of driving all the way, we get the ball halfway there, stop and pull up and shoot a mid-range jumper.
Will Warren's piece was the apple from Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
We ate it, and now I can't watch the game without going, quit shooting the mid-range. God, that's a terrible shot. Don't take that shot. What are you doing?
Tennessee, this is, he says, before we hit garbage time. So I'm imagining, you know, 1-2 minutes to go. Tennessee was 2 of 14 on mid-range jumpers. 2 of 14 late in the game. They were 19 of 38 on all other shots. So 2 of 14.
Mm-hmm.
On mid-range, and then anything else. So
11 of 28 from three, if you want to just look at those two numbers.
Well, they're, at this time, they were 10 of 23 from three.
Can't be too efficient from the field.
You can't be efficient at all if you're going to take this many mid-range terrible jump. Now, a couple of them I know were at the end of the shot clock. I get it. There's going to be a couple outliers in there every game. But we look for that shot. That's our shot.
And we don't, I mean, we don't make it. Like, we don't make it at a clip that will win you games. And I know Auburn made some kind of some wild threes, but, I mean, they shot 34.6 from three, which is about what we usually shoot, and we're not even a good shooting team. So that
mm-hmm. I mean, we did better from three than they did.
We did not lose this game because Auburn hit a bunch of nutty threes, even though they did hit some nutty threes.
Not normally we play them, they hit 15, 16 threes, and they only miss, like, eight. No, like, you outshot them from three. The difference is this team's problem that we have been talking about for a couple weeks now. They don't attack the rim, and they don't shoot the three well enough to take 30 a game.
And you got out-rebounded.
Which we talked about that last week. Like, we're a mediocre rebounding team. The free throws is what, I mean, that tells you the story mm-hmm. without you seeing anything. Oh, Auburn gets to the rim, gets fouled, gets to the free throw line. Tennessee settles for shots where they don't have to work very hard to get them.
And this was, there was one possession, first half, I believe. Yeah, it was definitely first half because I was watching for what set Tennessee's going to want run, how are they going to play out, what shots are they going to end up taking. And if you just go to YouTube, type in Rick Barnes early offense, you can watch a video on his entire early offense and the set they're trying to run. There was a possession where whoever was the point guard, I don't even remember, comes down the court in secondary break mode, I would call it. Definitely wasn't fast break. There's no numbers advantage. But comes down the court fairly quickly, pushing tempo. The trailing post even gets in the way, and the point guard switches sides from one side of the court to the other. Pons is the first post down, runs straight to the rim like he's supposed to. The point guard comes off that, what Rick Barnes kind of calls traffic, like use the traffic mm-hmm. to get the ball mm-hmm. to the elbow. Point guard gets to the elbow. Pons ducks in. Boom. Just plasters his guy on the right block.
Great post position.
I mean, just gets wide. Just got his man buried.
Shows the hands. 90-degree elbows.
Yep. Bounce pass entry
there
right
it is.
To him. He catches it. And then takes a dribble to the middle of the paint,
uh-huh.
and then shoots a fadeaway from, like, the logo and misses it. And I'm like, everything about that is exactly what Rick Barnes said he wanted all the way through Pons catching the basketball. Everything after that is why this team is not going to be nearly as good as we had hoped they would be. Now, part of that is you don't have a five. That's not a 6'11 guy catching that and just turning and, but part of that is Pons didn't even try. Like he didn't even, you know. And the other part of that is when we don't get that, we like we're never getting that score. I mean, mm-hmm. when Is it Thor for Auburn? Big lanky. Like, he got the ball in that same spot late in a lot in the second half and just turned around and went into our guys, and they had to call something. I mean, Pons is, what, 6'6"?
Yeah. I'd say 6'6".
I mean, you know, he's Michael Jordan's height. Like, think about that.
If he would post up and actually do moves like Keon did, he'd be really good. But he's finesse offensively.
He's friendly.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I thought it, but I went with finesse, which is a French word, by the way. Yeah, I mean, like, if Pons gives a little up and under with a dribble there, he's probably slamming it on somebody. Yeah. But instead, that little, like, lazy crab dribble to a fadeaway, it's the way of the world.
And they even run a quick hitter, which basically gets them that same shot.
Mm-hmm. When he comes off, like, the little curl action.
Usually he sets the screen.
Yep.
It's kind of like, we're trying to get Fulkerson open, then...
Not!
Give it to me! Right in the middle of the paint. And
clink.
I mean, yeah, we just...
Yeah. Will we win another game?
And we are fading fast. Somebody even texted me and said, Tennessee is tanking.
We've lost three out of our last five.
Not on purpose like you in the NBA, just, you know.
Looking at Jaden Springer's shot chart, he took 7 shots that were not threes that were outside of the arc. He went 2 for 7. Farther away it went, the more misses he had.
I mean, every time, it seemed like every time Johnson and Springer got all the way to the basket, I mean, they usually good things happen. They either got fouled or they scored. They missed a couple shots in there, but yeah, it's just a mentality thing. And we said Bruce Pearl would coach this like it's their Super Bowl.
Oh, and that they were fired up.
Cooper didn't even play. We were 8.5-point favorites. I mean, like, some people that probably don't follow basketball as closely probably just like, oh, Auburn beat us. Yeah, well, we haven't been playing that well lately. That
no, their
sense.
Best player was out.
No, Auburn's not any good, and their best player was out.
I told you guys to watch out for that Flanagan kid, though. 23 points. 23. All of Auburn's starters hit double figures. Fulkerson, 19 minutes, 4 points, 4 turnovers. My favorite one was when he gets the rebound and throws it to Pons, who is facing away from him.
Yeah, it's going
to
hit him in the butt.
Yeah, for a turnover. I don't think Auburn scored on that one, but man, that was... Why are we throwing an outlet pass to Pons, and why are we throwing it to him if he's not even looking?
In his defense on that, I didn't think he was throwing it to Pons. Like, I saw Springer, who was just a few feet away to Pons' left, and, like, Pons just kind of ran up as John Fulkerson was passing it, so he, like, didn't see Pons coming.
I thought Gaines had a great 3 minutes.
Well, they showed him in the pregame warm-up, and he was, like, dribbling the ball soccer style, where he's bouncing it off his knee and kicking it and stuff, and I'm like, man, like, you're about to play at SC. I'm not saying don't have fun, but, like, you play 2 or 3 minutes a game, I would probably spend my warm-up time focusing on basketball.
Viscovi does that, too. He did that.
That's true.
Prior to Viscovi the previous game. That.
I mean, he did get 2 rebounds, but he had a turnover and 2 fouls in 3 minutes. And Anna Sickie, oh, my gosh.
1 minute.
Bro, did you see the shot he missed?
Yeah.
What?
I know it's not Optimism Tuesday, but at least we only have a few more weekends where we have to watch this team.
Is that just what you do with every Tennessee sport now? Like, once you get to the end of the season, it's just like, well, at least it's almost over.
Basically, yes. Do I like that I'm in that position? No, but
Baseball teams stunk it up, too, this weekend.
Did they?
They lost 2 out of 3 to the Sycamores.
Somebody told me they won yesterday.
I mean, I'm having to come in here and do a post-game show for this basketball team right now.
Sucks to be you.
So because you already talk about it,
what?
You don't want us to talk about it. You know these are different shows, right?
baseball team did suck.
No, you guys go right ahead and talk about it. Like, I understand what we have to do. I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things, like, I'm ready for off-season talk already.
We lost two games on Saturday?
Mm-hmm. Lost the doubleheader.
I was told we won at least one of those.
We won on Friday.
Yeah, but not Saturday.
No.
Won last night. Yesterday.
Did they play them four times?
Yeah.
Okay, so two. We split.
With Indiana State.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's early.
I wonder if Tony V was like, that's an SEC caliber squad out there, for sure. They're really good. And maybe they are. I don't know.
I think I remember the Sycamores being on Tennessee's schedule in the, what was it, like, MVP 2005 baseball game?
Oh.
Really? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
I think I remember them having a good team there. They might have sucked. I don't remember. That's a long time ago. But
we played them one. Did we play them in 17? We played them once early in the year, and I know Ty Chandler returned a kickoff for a touchdown. We beat them really bad, but didn't look good doing it. I can't remember what year it was.
Indiana State?
I thought so.
I do not remember that.
Just remember they were blue.
Okay.
Well, they wore white, but, you know, blue, right, main color, yeah, that kind of thing. It's how that works. Away teams and whatnot.
We're going to beat Florida on Sunday?
Probably not.
Basketball Power Index, which has been absolutely worthless this year, says the Tennessee has like a 73% chance of victory.
We had a 75% chance against Auburn. I
think
said
it got up to like 77.
I said this Saturday, but our season died when we played Florida earlier,
mm-hmm,
so maybe this is our chance to get it right again.
Oh, so this is the circle back opportunity for redemption.
Yeah.
It's like, if we can actually beat these guys, everything will start making sense again.
I mean, they beat us by 26 points.
Oh, they blasted us. Did we score 49 in that game?
We did not get over the 50.
I didn't think so.
Why did we started running offense, like dribble drive offense, it started working, and then we just quit doing it. What happened?
Yeah, like we did it against Kentucky, then we started running a little bit against Georgia and South Carolina, and now we're right back into the old, let's set it up and feed the post and then take mid-range jumpers.
Yeah, great.
I mean, just look at Auburn's shot chart compared to ours. There's layups, there's three-pointers, and not much else. We are just – we missed like six pull-ups from the free throw line.
Well, we want to score from all three levels, Houston.
Okay, well, that's good if you're actually scoring – from level two.
Can we just someone go over there and convince Rick Barnes that shooting free throws is scoring from the mid-range level so we can quit taking that shot?
Indiana State, 217. Ty Chandler, opening kickoff, touchdown. Right. Told you.
When was that in the season?
Like game two?
Game two.
One or two?
Who did we play in the first game?
No, 17, the first game was Georgia Tech. So this was game two.
Oh, no wonder I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we played
back to me now, yeah.
And then we played UMass somewhere in there.
I think that was game four.
So was it? Yeah, it might have been Indiana State, Florida, UMass. And at that point, we were just like, we're done here.
I was done after Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah. I was done before Georgia Tech, but I.
The 2017 Florida, was that Frank's to bomb to the end zone?
Tyree Cleveland. That was when Walmart tried to dunk on me.
They kind of did.
No, they did. But then I got their store closed down on campus. So who won there? That was all me.
You're still going strong.
Yeah.
Take that.
That gets retweeted, like, randomly all the time. Like, it'll find a group of Florida fans or something, and all of a sudden it'll be like, this tweet mentioning you was retweeted 36 times, and everyone comments on it, like, oh, my God, what a burn. It was pretty good joke.
It's funny how old tweets just pop up, how they just kind of burn out.
Or don't in this case.
Yeah. Cherry Palm as Tennessee is 7 seed now. I mean, we're working hard to just fall all the way out of the tournament.
I mean,
fortunately, there's not enough time left to do that.
I was going to say, at this point, we lose the next two. We're still in as like a play-in game, maybe.
No, you get an 8-9 seed likely.
Yeah, I think we're fine. But it's just like, good Lord. Remember when Matt called in a while back? It's like, what? I think we're gonna get a two. Like, if we can just win these.
If we win out, can we get a two?
Yeah. If we lose out,
those are good times.
Can we wear the home whites? Like, that's can we be 8 or better?
At this point, yeah, it seems like we're gonna be wearing orange jerseys a lot.
Or once.
We took 18 shots outside the arc. We went 5 of 18.
Outside the arc?
Like the inner arc. inside the three-point line as well.
Okay.
Outside the arc, inside the three-point line.
Yes. We went 5 of 18. Auburn took 11.
How far is the arc from the front of the rim? Or from the edge of the rim, obviously, all the way
around. I don't know. I've never heard of this inner arc.
Yeah, the charge arc.
Well, that's a layup.
Well, I mean, usually.
So you're saying from the restricted area out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But inside the three-point line?
Yes. Not counting three-pointers.
I want to say the restricted area, like, that sets up at 3 feet out.
It's got to be more than that. A little. That's, I don't know.
We'll look up the dimensions.
Yeah, we need to get that. They've moved it.
Right.
They've established it and moved it already.
One in Stripes says we play our best basketball in the tournament as an 11 seed anyway. Got a point.
Not a lot of a sample size.
I don't even want a 2 seed. Let's be Cinderella.
Slipper still fits. One more time. Auburn 77, Tennessee 72, Saturday morning on the plains. As Bruce Pearl whipped Rick Barnes again. How many in a row was that?
That was six. That's Auburn's longest winning streak over Tennessee in the program's history. Tennessee,
six in a row?
Six mm-hmm. in a row. Tennessee hasn't beaten Auburn since 2017 in basketball.
I think we got them in 2018.
Somebody must have that stat wrong then. 2018?
Well, yeah. There's a couple years we played them twice, and we've met them in the SEC tournament once or twice, too. Hmm. Bruce Pearl just owning us. Jeez, that hurts.
I mean, that team's not even any good. Like, they're not going to – they wouldn't have made the tournament even
– No, and their best player was out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you know how – Well, I mean, you guys said it was like 70-something percent chance for us to win.
Yeah, I think it got up to like 77. It might have been even higher once the official announcement that Cooper wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Score app, which is our go-to now, they need to cut the check, but they're just so good, they keep getting mentioned for free.
Mm-hmm.
Had the closing line. I checked it after the game started at -8.5 for Tennessee. Of course, I smartly jumped in on Auburn +4.5 at some point during the – second half, I think, actually.
Yeah, it was 2017.
Just chalk that one up for Hodges there.
Yeah, I was thinking we played them twice in 2018. 2018 was only a one time.
And then 2018-19, they beat us twice. End of the season and SEC final.
Okay, so as Tennessee fans, what are we looking forward to right now?
We should have just traded right
there. The offseason, I told you this.
We should have said, like, Bruce, come here. Bruce.
We got to think realistically, Hodges. We got to solve these
problems.
He was
right there. He come back. Bruce, hey, what are we going to do with Rick? I don't know. Put him in the basement. Just come on.
No, come on. Basement. He's a Hall of Famer.
Okay. Level.
Yeah.
Attic.
Barnes is now 0-5 with the higher-ranked team versus Bruce Pearl.
I mean, I don't know how you fix the problems we have in 2 or 3 days.
You don't.
I thought they were trying. Like, remember what game was it? What game was that where it was like, they're fixing it. They've found the error of their ways. We're running some triple drive motion here.
Well, it was Kentucky in the last 10 minutes, right? When they just went to Keon and Jaden, mostly Keon.
Felt like.
I mean, Georgia, you tried to go up tempo. And
yeah.
You ran with Georgia.
It was Kentucky because they scored 50 points, lost at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
50.
Right.
And lost 52-50 to a, you know, not a good SEC team.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on the road.
Didn't Vanderbilt beat them this week?
I don't know. Yes. They won. Yeah. They won at Rupp Arena. And we're like, okay. And they scored 82 and started running more to the dribble drive, scored against Kentucky, who obviously later we're, you know, going to have that issue again. And then I remember saying, I'm excited about watching this Georgia game because it feels like we tried something different. And we had to come back to beat Kentucky in that first one, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we tried something different. We learned on the fly. We got it done. surely they're going to do more. And then they went up and down and ran against Georgia, and then that worked too. 89-81, you score a bunch of points, you win the game.
Gave up a lot of points but for us, but yeah, offense was good.
Then you go to LSU, who we can't guard, and kind of lay a little bit of an egg, but we just, there's going to be that game occasionally. You'd won, that's okay, though. You'd won two, you lost one. You scored 93 against South Carolina. We're like, all right, 3 of 4. We at least have the potential. I mean, we've scored 82, 89, and 93 in 3 out of our last 4 at that point. Got Kentucky again. Surely we'll execute the exact same game plan that gave Kentucky fits. And we just lay an egg. We just quit doing everything that had been working in 3 out of 4 games and score 55 points against a Kentucky team that's not going to make the NCAA tournament probably. And at home in our building, we just go back to what's comfortable, I guess. And then, I mean, Vanderbilt's terrible. Throw that one out. And then we just do it again at Auburn and lose again.
Out of the past 4 NCAA tournaments, only 3 Sweet 16 teams have finished with a worse adjusted offensive efficiency rating than Tennessee currently holds at 109. It was South Carolina in 2017, Syracuse in 2018, Oregon in 2019. And according to KenPom, the Vols this year have only 3 wins against better teams and 6 losses to worse teams. So they've beaten 3 teams that, according to KenPom, are better than them, and they've lost 6 games to teams that are not as good, according to the rankings.
Who are the wins against?
At this point, I would say Kansas. Maybe Cincinnati?
Arkansas,
yeah.
I mean, the only
not
reason...
Not Cincinnati.
I don't know if he does that adjusted, or what.
The only reason...
Colorado?
The only reason Arkansas is a better win now is because you've started tanking and they've gotten better. Like
that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he's adjusted it or what.
Missouri. Got to be Missouri, Arkansas, and...
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Missouri's not ranked that high now.
Weren't they 20th?
I'm talking on KenPom.
Oh.
Oh, maybe they're doing it at the time of the game.
Mm.
So it would have been, if it's at the time of the game, it would have been Colorado. That makes no sense. How can Kansas be ranked 19th if we were ranked 19th? I don't know how. I don't know how they're doing it. Never mind.
Anyway, it's not good.
Not good, Bob.
Although... Even more perplexing is Kansas beat Baylor over the weekend.
Right.
Tennessee dismantled Kansas wire to wire, won by 20. Mm-hmm. So and we've said this all year, this team has the potential to beat anybody in the country on a given night, but also the potential to lose to an Auburn team who does always give you fits, but isn't going to be and wouldn't have been, even if they hadn't a postseason banned themselves, would not have been a postseason basketball team. You can come back and beat Kentucky and Rupp, and then you get wire-to-wire stomped in Thompson Bowling. We're saving it for the tournament. I got to believe it. Did you happen to see Keon Johnson's tweet over the weekend?
No.
Somebody sent him a video of their son or grandson crying at the thought of Keon Johnson leaving after 1 year, and Keon replied, "We got to win a national championship first." I don't know if that means he's coming back next year no matter what, or if they think they're going to win the national championship this year. So we shall see.
Got to get those looses out of the way.
A national championship of integrity, maybe.
You don't want to go into the tournament, you know, on a long winning streak because then that pressure gets to you. You want to make sure you get some looses at the end.
Donnie tweets in and asks, does a long shot that Keon hit at the end with his foot on the three-point line technically count as a mid-range shot in the books? I believe so, right?
It depends on which books you're talking about. I don't know. There was Will Warren was using some metrics like 8 to 18 feet. If it's 8 to 18 feet, then no.
Hmm.
If it's like what Alex said, where it's anything out to the three-point line, then yes.
Okay.
I mean, I would – if I'm coaching, I definitely don't want to take shots with the – foot on the line, so I'm counting.
Well, sometimes that's like accidental, right?
I'm counting everything from wherever we're gonna. The hard part's establishing how do you establish between the a layup level and the first mid-range? Like we need to figure that out, how we're defining that. 8 feet is what, you know. The free throw line is 15 feet from the back of the rim. So 8 feet from the front of the rim is definitely a jumper. Like, you're not shooting a layup from 8 feet. By any, that's kind
of
like...
Unless you're Pons with a full head of steam. I mean, the guy can dunk from the free throw line, so I'm saying it's possible.
Right, right.
But it might also be where the ball is released from.
But if he jumps from the free throw line and dunks it, it gets marked as a dunk.
Yeah.
It gets marked to where you let it go. So if you let it go from 8 feet, there's no way that's a layup.
So if I shoot a floater from the free throw line and release halfway...
It
wouldn't be marked at the free throw line. It'd be wherever I release the ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Air.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jaden Springer says confidence is definitely missing. What show has been talking about confidence for this basketball team for months? That's right. This show. That's right. Springer said, I feel like confidence is definitely missing. Some players are in and out. Sometimes they show up. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes I feel like we get caught up in other stuff too much, and we need to just lock in on what's going on the court and not worry about anything else. Ooh, what does that mean?
Yeah, we got drama. We got behind-the-scenes problems.
I feel like it's mental and it's the effort. We just need to go out there and play hard at the end of the day. That's all it takes. You have to get your mental right. You can't do it without being mentally locked in and mentally prepared. I feel like this is one of the biggest things that we definitely have to fix. Ooh. That feels like a shot. Does that feel like a shot to you? Guys are in and out mentally?
I don't know what that... Yeah, I don't... It feels weird.
Maybe not a shot, but like enough is enough type of thing. You have to get your mental right. You can't do it without being mentally locked in and mentally prepared. Feels like some guys aren't taking it seriously enough. Wow. That's a freshman trying to lead. I like it. Just also sad that this is what it's come to. Our true freshmen are the two leaders of the team because we got a bunch of babies.
Final segment. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. Join us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Final segment, hour number one. Get to your reaction on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. 865-546-8200. We got Matt up first. Matt, you're on Three and Out. What's up, buddy?
Happy Monday, guys.
Nah, I'm sick of Mondays.
We haven't even gotten to the real kick in the groin.
We haven't had a happy Monday in a long minute.
Yeah, what's the real kick in the groin?
Oh, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Football and recruiting.
0 for 2.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Got a kick to the old horn.
We don't even have kahunas left, guys.
We're like those Asian guys who just they kick themselves so many times that it doesn't even faze them anymore. We've built up a tolerance. Yeah,
we've gone to Admiral Vet and we've just been.
We have. I think you know, like in Rocky, where the Russians just sitting there punching that bag just over and over and over, like a little one that just bounces back and forth. Is that what we are?
We were. They fell off long ago.
I was looking at the. Just Googling a second ago on the Google search and looking at Vescovi's assists over the last few games. Do you guys know how many assists he has for the last two games?
Four.
Four assists. And seven, I think, or eight. That's right. And then I think eight or seven and three. That's your point guard, guys.
Well, he's coming off the bench now.
And I think he's been more off ball lately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know, guys. What do we do, man?
I don't know.
Changed the whole offense like 3 months ago. the second the season ended last year, they should be like, all right, now for next year, we got this.
We got these guys coming in. You guys aren't good at this. Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'll I'll lean to this. Do you guys think we're going to be a 7 seed?
Probably an 8.
Right now, I have no idea, Matt.
Is there a chance we could not make the tournament?
I don't think so.
No, you could lose out, which would just be
two games,
and then
yeah,
you're still in.
Probably get a 9 seed.
Well, tell me what I missed the recruiting news. I haven't even checked, so can you tell me what it is?
So Ty Simpson went to Alabama on Friday. No great surprise, but our backup plan was Sam Horn, 4-star. His brother goes to Tennessee. His grandparents live in Knoxville. His parents went to Tennessee.
All the reports were that Pruitt and company hadn't really talked to him, but that when Heupel came in, they liked him more. And so while they had still been pushing all the eggs into the Ty Simpson basket, they have been also trying to talk to Sam Horn. And so when Ty Simpson went to Alabama, everybody's like, everybody's eyes went, okay, Tennessee, Sam Horn.
It makes sense. He wants to play baseball. We're pretty good at that.
Yeah, and he wants to play baseball too. Not only did nothing really happen over the weekend with Sam Horn in Tennessee, he announced he's committed to Missouri.
Last night, committed to Missouri. At 8:23 p.m., he said committed, and it's a bunch of Missouri stuff.
It sucks, too, because I just listened to Hoopla's interview on Jim Rome talking about recruiting and, you know.
Dynamic offense and quarterbacks who can sling it, and yeah. Yeah.
Well, good news is, guys, I shot a 94 at RBC.
There you go.
Freaking horrible, man. I played so bad. I would recommend.
You played that course before?
No.
Okay,
no, But I got the problem was is I got performance anxiety like crazy out there. You know, playing here, no big deal. But when we had probably 100 people watching us tee off, and I got hammered before hole one, which was really stupid.
Bad move.
Yeah, really bad move, man. Plus, we had a 4 caddy, which was weird. I'm not a big fan of that crap. So,
100 people watching you tee off. How does that? What do you mean?
Just well, people. There's a deck above top where people eat lunch.
Gotcha.
You
get
off there, so you had probably like 50 people on the deck. Plus, you had everybody teed off. People behind us were there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of pressure.
And you're hammered.
And I was hammered, and I duck hooked it. Just about as bad as you can duck hook it.
That happened to me once, Matt. I entered the Dave Serrano golf tournament, like the benefit tournament. And we were starting on hole, like, 11 at Aguani or something. And right before we tee off, they're like, yeah, you know, some of the players are going to be at certain holes throughout the day. Okay, whatever, that's cool. The entire baseball team and coaching staff and everybody at the golf tournament decided to go to our starting hole and watch us tee off. And it's a tee shot over the water. Where do you think mine went? Kasploosh.
In the water.
And I was just like, well, that's great. And I had played that course probably 50 times in the last 3 years. I knew that course. But, yeah, you got the entire baseball team looking at you, and I put one in the water. Stupid.
Yeah. Talk to you tomorrow, guys.
See you, Matt. Be good. I've been there. It's tough, man.
94 at the Heritage. If you don't know what the RBC is, that's the Hilton Head course. It is a lot of pressure when you know you're going to play a course like for one time.
Yeah.
You want to play well.
And not 100 people looking at you. That would be.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot.
But if you had a little alcohol in your system, shouldn't you be able to get through the pressure?
He said hammered.
Yeah, he went too fast, too strong.
The pre-tee shot beer or two, sure. Mm-hmm. But if you get hammered before one, that's. Probably.
Yeah,
I mean, if they were already eating lunch, you know, it's not like he got up first thing in the morning and started pounding beers. It sounds like Matt, you know, they enjoyed their time getting ready.
I mean, if he's there one time, why wouldn't you?
Oh, I'm not saying, yeah, but maybe after the first tee. You know, just get it, punch one out there in the fairway and then
get it rolling.
Exactly. It's tough. So the basketball team's broken. We might not be able to recruit a quarterback. Baseball team went 2-2 over the weekend.
Things are really looking up. Couldn't get any worse from here, right?
You're not allowed to say that.
Maybe not, though. We have apparently offered Drew Allar.
Of course we have.
From Ohio. 6'5", 230, four-star. He has become one of the fastest rising quarterback prospects in the country.
In the country. There's always another guy in recruiting. That is the good thing.
Mm-hmm. I think we can still get Sam Horn back. I think we can continue to recruit him. Mm. I think there's at least a chance. But I also think it's going to be real tough, man. Like, I remember when Rick Barnes took over here and everyone was like, oh, this is we're going to get all these guys, these five-star program needed some rebuilding, some retooling, some steady leadership. It might take Heupel. I mean, we said it, man. He's walking into the fire. So if this class just kind of stinks, I'm not going to be that surprised. I'm just not. It's a very tough position. We don't know what the NCAA is going to do. Also, let's not forget, like, we have a five-star quarterback on the roster. We have a high four-star quarterback on the roster. Brian Maurer, I think, ended up being a four-star or maybe a high three. You got Hendon Hooker, who was a four-star. He transferred from Virginia. Like, we've got, you know, we got four or five guys already. This probably isn't the most appealing spot for any quarterback until we start putting up the points and the numbers. You said it. Sam Horn probably looked at Connor Bazelak and said, I can beat that guy. Then probably looked at Caden Salter and said, oof, I don't know. That guy's pretty good. Harrison Bailey was a five-star. He's kind of the same style as me.
I'm just going to blame Jeremy Pruitt.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Chris Winkie.
Well, we've been doing that for pretty much everything else. Anyway.
No. Hopefully this is the final quarterback thing we can blame on him. Hopefully from now on.
Now we'll find a way to extend it into the next season.
Well, yeah, we're going to be blaming Pruitt for years.
Look, if Sam Horn can miss the Missouri in a week or two from now, like, whatever, fine. Like, he just went ahead and just smashed you right in the face. Like, no, we didn't get Ty Simpson. Oh, as expected.
We didn't show him enough love.
Let's turn our attention to Sam Horn, and he's like, nope, Missouri, immediately. Like, can he wait on our call at least for a minute? Did we not?
We're not even off the ground yet. He just kneed us in the face.
Yeah, did we not call him late Saturday and say, hey, buddy? Or did that call go so poorly where it's like, hey, Ty didn't come here. What do you think? And he was just like, the way we did it turned him off. And he's like, I'm going to go ahead and go Missouri. I don't know. We'll kick off hour two. Come back at you next, right here on Fan Run Radio. Apex Pest Control.